Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah Leduc. Over the course of his long career, French painter Pierre-Auguste Renoir continually turned to the human figure for artistic inspiration. Renoir was born in 1841 and died a century ago in 1919. To observe the centenary of his death, the Clark Art Institute and the Kimball Art Museum present a new exhibition, Renoir, The Body, The Senses. Including paintings, drawings, pastels, and sculptures by Renoir, as well as works by his predecessors, contemporaries, and followers, the exhibition is on display at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through September 22nd. Renoir, The Body, The Senses features works from the Clark's collection and loans from around the world. It was co-organized by Esther Bell, the Robert and Martha Berman Lipp Chief Curator at the Clark, and George T.M. Shackelford, Deputy Director at the Kimball. I went to the Clark last week, and Esther Bell led me through the exhibition.
Well, as you probably know, the Clark is one of the great repositories of Renoir in the world, and certainly in North America. So on this great occasion, the centenary of his death, we knew that we wanted to celebrate his career in a meaningful way.
Tell me more about what the themes of the show are, what we're exploring here.
Absolutely. We wanted to focus on the central subject of Renoir's career, the defining subject of his career, which is the nude and partially draped body. And this is a subject that he was preoccupied with from the time that he was a young artist until his death in 1919. And so through the single subject, we are charting his entire career. His early experimentations with the realist school, his impressionist paintings, his break with impressionism during a period we call classical impressionism, and then the late works, which really are on the verge of the avant-garde and almost abstract in their own way.
Is the show organized chronologically?
The show is more or less organized chronologically, but importantly, we place Renoir in proximity to the artists he greatly admired, his predecessors such as Rubens, François Boucher, Delacroix, and others, his contemporaries who challenged him and whose work he's responding to, and then finally we conclude with the legacy, the artists who look to Renoir as the father of modernism.
This is a huge show.
It is a huge show. It is.
All right, let's go in and start looking at it. Where do you want to begin?
I think we'll begin with the earliest work in the exhibition, a work that he creates when he is a young man, just starting off, and that is this painting right here called The Council of the Gods, and it's a copy after Peter Paul Rubens. And let me back up just a little bit.
Of course.
So Renoir is born in 1841 in Limoges, France. He's the son of a tailor and a seamstress, a working-class family. And when he's a young child, the family moves to Paris, and they settle in the first arrondissement in a modest apartment, importantly, just a stone's throw from the Louvre. And the Louvre was already a museum in Renoir's time. It opened as a museum in 1793, and you could wander in and enjoy the masterpieces, which Renoir did. And so he first claims to have become really interested in the Greco-Roman sculpture galleries, but then he graduates to the great colorists such as Peter Paul Rubens. So in 1860, we have the first documentation of him requesting permission to make copies after Rubens in the Louvre. And this dates from to the following year, 1861. And here we see how he's really charting out, mapping the body, and really kind of admiring Rubens' mastery of human anatomy. And so we've placed this painting alongside a work by Peter Paul Rubens, so you can compare and contrast and really see the tradition from which Renoir is growing. So this gallery is also devoted to what we call Renoir and realism. So when Renoir is a young artist, he enters the studio of an artist named Charles Glaire, who was a Neo-Grec painter. And his studio was very popular because it was relatively inexpensive. It cost 10 francs a month. And this money went towards hiring a model to come in. And these students had to master, again, the human anatomy, first through drawing and before they would graduate to painting. And so this painting dates to just after that moment. And I bring up Glaire's studio because today it's best known as being the meeting ground for the future impressionists. So Renoir studied alongside Frederic Basile, Alfred Sisley, Claude Monet. And this painting, Boy with the Cat, is created when Renoir is in a wonderful painterly dialogue with Frederic Basile, one of his friends from Glaire's studio. And this group of artists, we call them the Glaire Group, were very much enamored with the examples of Edouard Manet, Gustave Courbet, the great champions of the everyday human being. And so here we see that Renoir is using a real model. This is not an idealized form. This is a real person, and you see that in the way that the skin is delicately modeled. Also this very kind of realistic manner in which he's cradling that cat who seems to be purring against his skin. We also know that Frédéric Bazille, we believe he's using the same model. And something in this exhibition that we do is we try to identify the models when we can. So I'll tell you, we believe this to be a young boy named Félix Armand Tréault, and he is the brother of Lise Tréault, who you'll meet in just a second. So something really important that's happening in Glare's studio, Glare is trying to prepare his students not only for eventual success at the École des Beaux-Arts, trying to help them gain entrance into this great school for artists, but also to prepare them for success at the Salon. And the Salon was the public juried exhibition, and to have your paintings accepted to the Salon was the greatest sign of success, and it was a great shot at critical fortune and fame. And so this was very important to Renoir and his friends, and here we see one of his first great successes at the Salon. This is Lise on the banks of the Seine, otherwise called Bather with a Griffin, and this was exhibited at the Salon of 1870. And so the types of paintings of the nude that were previously championed at the Salon were these idealized figures, monumental in scale.
Heroic stances,
mythological subjects or historic subjects. But what Renoir is doing is he is imbuing that honored subject with a sense of the here and now. So we have this very beautiful woman, but she's a real woman. She's not idealized. And I've just told you this is Lise Tréault, so a known figure. And she is surrounded by these signals of everyday life. So her petticoat she holds in her hand. You see her fashionable hat in the foreground with a very beautifully painted artificial flower. And then, of course, her very perky lapdog, who's looking directly out to us, as if he's about to bark at us, startle us. And so what are these women doing? She's also accompanied by a companion. You see her kind of laying on this this bank of grass or shrubbery. And so what are they doing? Why has she taken her clothes off? And in fact, we're not entirely certain, but it might not be so polite. And what we believe Renoir is doing is referencing a painting by Gustave Courbet of several years earlier called Ladies on the Banks of the Seine, which was widely understood to be a painting about the seedy underworld of prostitution. So is that what's happening here? We're not entirely certain, but what we do know is that he's infusing the scene with an art historical gravitas. So if you look at the way she's holding her hand, and even the way she styled her hair, this is a direct citation of a work of art in the Louvre, Praxiteles' Venus. And the Louvre had acquired a cast of this sculpture in 1861. So an educated museum goer at the time would have understood the reference. And so by giving it this this very pointed reference, he's again aligning himself with the great masters in the history of art. I should also say that the critics weren't entirely pleased with the painting, and in fact one urges the model to immediately take a bath, in which she is in great need. So, and that is just a sign of the critics' unease with this very realistic depiction.
Renoir, The Body of the Senses is on view at the Clark through September 22nd. Curator Esther Bell.
A really interesting part of this exhibition is that with each gallery, we are taking a really sharp stylistic turn. So the 1860s and early 70s, I told you, was Renoir's experimentation with the realist painting. And now we're in the mid-70s in this gallery devoted to impressionist figure painting. And here is one of the stars of the exhibition, a painting on loan from Musée d'Orsay, one of the great lenders and supporters of this exhibition. And this is called Study Torso of a Woman in the Sunlight. And this is a very significant painting in this exhibition because this is the only nude figure painting Renoir would exhibit alongside the Impressionist artists. This is exhibited in the second Impressionist exhibition in 1876. And if you come up close with me, Sarah, you'll see that, in fact, it's a very radical painting. Look at the way he's leaving the canvas exposed, this very feathery, bright, vivid application of paint. It's very abstract. I mean, it's as if she's seated in a jungle or certainly a verdant landscape. And we really can't make out her face. Her face is totally obscured in shadow. And Renoir's great focus here is the way that the sunlight is hitting the body. The sun is really deconstructing the form in these blotches of light. And that is, in effect, the subject of the painting. And so critics didn't know what to do with this painting. One called it the work of a true colorist, and another infamously wrote, this is a critic named Albert Wolff, wrote in Le Figaro, he wrote, "Would someone kindly explain to Monsieur Renoir that a woman's torso is not a mass of decomposing flesh with the green and purplish blotches that indicate a state of complete putrefaction in a corpse?"
He had an opinion.
He had a very strong opinion, and this is one of the great criticisms ever recorded about Renoir's works. Of course, it's damning, but what it's really saying is what Renoir is doing is totally radical, and this is not what is happening in the Salon. This is not a traditional, monumental nude painting a la the academic tradition, but this is a departure. And Renoir is hedging his bets a bit. When he exhibits this, he gives it the title Study, Etude, Study. So he's saying, yes, I understand this is experimental, but he also signs it, you see, prominently on the lower right. And this today is considered to be one of his great masterpieces of his entire career.
So he showed them.
Yes, yes, he did. He did.
All right, what do we have over here?
So also in this gallery, we place Renoir alongside his friends, his contemporaries, the other great artists of the nude of the period, Edgar Degas and Paul Cézanne. And in this juxtaposition, we have Bathers Playing with a Crab by Renoir alongside After the Bath by Degas. And so ostensibly, this is the same subject. These are groups of bathers drying off after they've bathed, but they could not be more radically different in their approach. And one thing we want to really underscore in this exhibition is how unique Renoir was in his practice. And I think this really does make that point. So in Renoir's Pastel, you see these bathers, they're playing, they're frolicking in the grass. It's almost an arabesque composition. And Degas is taking the point of view from above as if he's on a ladder looking down on these bathers, completely abstracted. There's something dark, almost sinister about his depiction.
Yeah, they look uncomfortable.
They look uncomfortable, stilted, perhaps even lifeless in that top figure. But their strategies were completely different. But Renoir, of course, admired Degas and his practice. And the other artist that was very important in comparison to Renoir was Cézanne. And so here, alongside, again, Renoir's Bathers Playing with a Crab, we have Cézanne's Battle of Love. And so again, a group scene of nudes, also kind of frolicking, but more aggressively. There's something almost violent, again, sinister in Cézanne's composition. It's more architectural in its approach. But this was a painting that, importantly, was in Renoir's own collection. He probably saw it when he was returning on a trip from Italy, and he stays with Cézanne, and he purchases it for himself in the 1890s. It seems very much that Renoir is citing Cézanne's composition. So you see these artists are doing something different, but they're playing off one another. They're certainly aware of one another's practice, but they each have their own very distinct road that they're taking.
Curator Esther Bell is taking us through Renoir, The Body, the Senses at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts.
We're in a room entitled Classical Impressionism.
Exactly. So in 1881, a very important event happens in Renoir's life. He sells a cache of paintings. He has some money for the first time, really. And he decides he's going to go to Italy for the first time. Going to Italy was a rite of passage for young artists, but it wasn't until Renoir was 40 years old that he takes the trip himself. And it is a formative experience. So in 1881, he heads south. He goes to Naples and Venice and Padua and Rome. And he travels alongside this woman right here. This is Aline Charigot, the future Madame Renoir. And together, they explore the great sites of artistic inspiration. But one place in particular had a very profound effect on Renoir, and that was the Villa Farnesina, where Renoir studied the frescoes of Raphael. And in fact, we know that he writes back to his dealer at the time, Paul de Ranvuel, and I'm paraphrasing here, but in sum, he says, "I've seen Raphael's frescoes. I should have seen them sooner. The simplicity and grandeur has forever changed me." Again, I'm paraphrasing, but again, it's this complete amazement with the line, the structure, the classicism of Raphael's example. So when he returns some time later, he has what he calls an impasse with Impressionism. He's no longer interested in the more loosely painted scenes of modern-day Paris, but he wants to adopt a structure, a simplicity, the grandeur that I just mentioned, to his compositions. And so this is the period that we call Classical Impressionism. And so one of the great examples of Classical Impressionism is Bather arranging her hair from the Clark Art Institute, one of the inspirations behind this exhibition. And another painting that is really the signature painting of this period is called The Great Bathers, and it resides in the Philadelphia Museum of Art. It does not travel because of the conditions of its bequest, but what we've done here is we've recreated the painting by bringing together the most important preparatory drawings for that composition. And these massive drawings that you see around you, Sarah, are very rarely shown. And to have them all together at once is a very powerful experience. So when Renoir exhibits that painting in the Philadelphia Museum, it's a bit of a head scratch to some of his friends. Claude Monet is very supportive. He praises him. But Pizarro, for instance, calls it incoherent. And Durand Ruel is not particularly pleased because this is a new direction in Renoir's craft, one that's not particularly marketable. And so when that painting is exhibited at the Galerie Georges Petit, it in fact doesn't sell for 2 years. And this creates a kind of another moment of crisis for Renoir, which he would soon surpass. But by bringing together these drawings, we show how he labored over that composition. And in fact, we know this to be so. He writes letters about it. And these letters really demonstrate an anxiety about this new path that he's trying to take. But we also have a very wonderful quote from Berthe Morisot, who visits him in his studio in January of 1886. And Morisot writes in her diary, "It would be interesting to show all these preparatory studies for a painting to the public, which generally imagines that the Impressionists work in a very casual way. I do not think it possible to go further in the rendering of form." He told me that for him, the nude was one of the indispensable forms of art. So we have in fact done what Morisot had so wished.
What a good idea.
Morisot gave us a great idea, and that's bringing these together. And here is a particularly wonderful moment in the exhibition. You have this masterpiece, red chalk drawing from the Fogg Art Museum at Harvard, alongside this sheet from a private collection.
So the drawings, you didn't even get them all from one place. They're from all over.
Exactly. These drawings come from all over the world, from France, from North America, and this is an example of a massive sheet that he was working on, struggling. You can see these hatches of red chalk, and he cropped the sheet in his lifetime. So in fact, you see her toes on the right-hand side.
Oh, yeah.
So we have done some cosmetic surgery and brought her foot back together for the first time since the 1880s. Such a special opportunity to bring the drawings back together again. But really, it's a wonderful opportunity for art historians to be able to study his practice and the various media that he's using and how he's really working towards a final composition.
Who did you work with to bring this exhibition together?
This is an exhibition that the Clark co-organized with the Kimball Art Museum, and my partner on the project is George T.M. Shackelford, deputy director at the Kimball, one of the great scholars of 19th century French painting in this country, and it was a great joy to work with George and also the Kimball Art Museum.
Renoir, The Body, the Senses is on view at the Clark through September 22nd.
I'm stopping right here in a section called Renoir and the Decorative Tradition. And here, Sarah, we're standing before one of the really special loans in this exhibition. This is François Boucher's Diana Leaving Her Bath. And this is the first painting that the Louvre ever purchased by François Boucher in 1852. And so when they did, it was an enormous event in Paris. And all sorts of artists copied this painting. Renoir, Morisot, Manet, Camille Corot, Tissot, Whistler, I could go on and on. And Renoir writes and he talks about this painting, calling it his first love. And he says that he loved it his entire life. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, "My friends told me that I shouldn't love Boucher, that he's only a decorator. What's wrong with being a decorator?" And so what he's referring to is the idea of the decorative, which in the 19th century did not have a pejorative meaning. What it really meant was artists who were exploring with bright patterns and color and the arrangement of forms, less of an adherence to realism. And so that is one reason that Renoir really was drawn to Boucher, and in particular particular, this painting. And here in this section, we have displayed it alongside, for instance, these two works by Renoir, Bather Seated on a Rock and Bather. These were two works that were in Monet's collection. And when they were exhibited in the 1890s, they were exhibited as decorative nude paintings. And it's, again, linking this idea back to the idea of Boucher and Renoir's kind of great admiration for the art of the 18th century. We're now entering the penultimate gallery in the exhibition devoted to the late years. And around 1892, in the mid-1890s, Renoir's style would take another turn. And this is the late period, the period in which his figures become much more voluminous. There's a much thinner application of paint. The bodies seem to almost be popping out of the picture frame. They also sometimes seem to be boneless and extremely curvy. And this is a strategy, a stylistic strategy. And this is the period today which is still the most stylistically controversial. And so to tell that story, we've borrowed this very beautiful painting from the Art Institute of Chicago called Seated Bather of 1914. And many of those attributes I just mentioned are absolutely evident here. And I just wanted to remind you that in 1942, when this painting is exhibited in New York City, it is championed as one of the greatest paintings of our time in the New York Times. I'm paraphrasing, but one of the greatest paintings of our time. When Sterling Clark, the great founder of this institution, had heard that the Art Institute of Chicago had purchased this painting, he couldn't believe it. And he writes in his diary about this painting, he says, "It's a great, big, mushy, gelatinous, fat woman with a sad face, strawberry tint, has no bones, only fat." But Sterling Clark detested the late style. He very much admired the work from the 1870s and the early 1880s. But there were a host of prominent collectors that very much preferred this period, such as Mr. Barnes, known for his incredible legacy at the Barnes Foundation in Philadelphia, which is one of the great repositories of late Renoir in any country, and also Leo and Gertrude Stein, who hung late Renoir alongside Cezanne and Picasso and Matisse. And speaking of Cezanne, Picasso, Matisse, let's talk about Picasso for just a minute. I think it is a great surprise to many of our visitors that Picasso was an ardent admirer of Renoir. And so on this wall, we show two works that were in Picasso's collection. Here, The Seated Bather, here, Bust of a Model. And when these listeners come see the show and read our labels, we've actually included images of Picasso's studio, and you can see Picasso working away with these paintings hanging in the background as sources of inspiration. And this is a particularly beautiful painting called Bust of a Model of 1916. And again, if you think about Renoir and Picasso belonging to the same tradition, the same school of thought, the abstraction of Renoir starts to make sense when you think about Picasso's cubism. For instance, her breast is a sphere, her arm is a cylinder, the background is completely abstract. Paint is really used as an expression of color and atmosphere, not meant to be recording actual trappings of modernity behind her. And this is what really drew Picasso to the late Renoir in particular. And when Picasso returns from Italy in 1916, he enters what one scholar has called a Renoirian crisis, where he makes repeated attempts to meet him and becomes really obsessed with Renoir and his manner of work. And so I think it's really interesting to show the Kimball Art Museum's Nude Combing Her Hair, a masterpiece by Picasso, alongside Renoir. It really underscores how they're part of the same school of modern art.
You're listening to an audio tour of the exhibition Renoir, The Body, the Senses at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts, led by curator Esther Bell.
So we're now in the final gallery devoted to Renoir's legacy. So we've just been talking about Picasso, but there were other artists who greatly admired Renoir, such as Henri Matisse, Pierre Bonnard, for instance, you see now installed alongside this painting. And this painting right here, The Bathers of 1918 to 1919, is the last masterpiece of Renoir's career. We call this a manifesto painting. It is a summation of Renoir's entire lifelong preoccupation with the nude as a subject matter. And when Renoir dies, his family gives this painting to the French state, but it wasn't a foregone conclusion that it would enter easily into the French state's collections, and in fact, there was a debate that broke out amongst the museum's board about whether or not this was an appropriate symbol of Renoir's career. Ultimately, it is accepted, but this today is a great symbol of the push and pull, is this great, is it not, dialogue around Renoir, and particularly the late style. Matisse, I should remind you, called this Renoir's masterpiece. He called it a painting in which death had no place. And in fact, there is this insistence on Arcadia and happiness. You see these bathers playing in the water back here, this very bright palette, very floral. And let's talk about the bathers that we see here, these two models. We actually know who these women are. This is Madeleine Bruno, one of Renoir's favorite models of the late period, as well as Catherine Dédé Hessling, who would go on to marry Jean Renoir, Renoir's son, and would become a very celebrated silent film actress. And both women, when they saw this painting, they thought, I don't look anything like that. They were, in fact, very slender, petite. But Renoir's not interested in capturing reality. Here, the body is just a vessel for stylistic, almost Baroque exploration. I mean, this rippling effect, this is almost absurd to our modern-day eye. But this is Renoir experimenting with composition, with form. And I think it's very interesting to look at this painting alongside Picasso's two women on a bed of grass, which is the same subject as what we see here, and then pivot around and look at Leger's Women and Still Life, which is an abstract composition of the nude form. And how Leger is achieving his abstraction, he's using cylinder pipes and tubes and this kind of mechanical construction. And what Renoir is doing is very different, but it's the same strategy. This is not mimetic, it's conceptual. And this is why Renoir not only is a great realist painter, a great impressionist painter, but he's a great modern painter. And that is the story we're trying to tell.
Esther Bell is the Robert and Martha Berman Lipp Chief Curator at the Clark. Renoir, The Body of the Senses is on view in Williamstown, Massachusetts through September 22nd. To learn more, visit clarkart.edu. That link will be posted along with this audio tour at wamc.org/roundtable.